If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Oh, it's a sunny day here in North Carolina. It was like 80 degrees. I apologize for those of you that may be still in the chill factor of this nation, but it was beautiful here. Oh, the buds are coming out. So I hope it stays warm and we don't get another chill because that will be bad. We got a great show. We are going to be talking about arthritis and how you can get rid of it in roughly 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And also we're going to talk about if you're going to plant an herb garden this year, we're going to talk about some of the things that I would plant if it were my garden, and you can kind of take it or leave it. And we'll see how the hour rolls. We might have time to talk about adult acne a little bit here. And we do have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, don't forget, a week from today, Dr. Carly's going to be with us. Yes, yes, she's going to be back the third Tuesday, as always. And we're going to be chatting it up on some really outrageous things that are going on. And also on the 20th, Thursday the 20th, John Monroe from Dr. Banker's Group is our natural vision guy. He's got some secrets that he can share. if you're trying to, skip the cataract thing, the macular degeneration, and improve your vision, all that kind of stuff. He'll be with us on the 20th and the 25th. So our shortwave listeners can hear that show on the 25th because I heard that you guys wanted to hear John, and he seems to always be on a Thursday night, and you don't get to hear him. So he's agreed to be here Tuesday as well, and we're all excited because he's so knowledgeable about why your vision problems are happening and how you can reverse that. And, well, we'll see, and then it'll be, April already, right? And we'll see what happens in April, okay? Before we do the Quack Report, big salute and Semper Fi. Praying for our righteous men and women in uniform, praying for every one of you out there. This whole nation needs prayer, needs the Lord, and I'm seeking the Lord's face and hitting the knees. I hope you are too. And, we're going to need some supernatural help to get out of this one. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Oh, yeah, you've been feeling it, you've been sensing it, you just want to talk about it because people are kind of sketchy about it. But, hey, it's real, it's happening. Don't try to look the other way because it is happening. Everything around you is happening on purpose for a reason. And so we're going to need God's help to get us out of it. And it's our job to ask, so mind the time. It grows short. And without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. What do we have in the Quacker? We got lots of stuff. The United States FDA has approved a Belgian-made nerve-stimulating headband. Ooh, everybody needs one of those, right? Well, it's supposed to be for a medical purpose. It's the device to help people with migraine headaches. Agency officials say the device provides some options for patients who experience migraines without having to take a bunch of medications. So that's a good thing, because I don't think the medications are helping, right? Not really. Long run, they don't. Because I used to work for a neurologist. I could tell you they don't. It's a battery-operated, powered plastic headband worn across the forehead. It uses an electrode. It emits a low electrical current to stimulate nerves associated with migraine pain. The users tend to feel a little tingling sensation on the skin where the electrode is applied, kind of like an ultrasound, I think, chiropractors use a lot of that to loosen up muscles and stuff. The device is designed to be used no more than 20 minutes a day, and you have to be 18 years or older to use it. They did a study on it. And the patients experience fewer migraines each month compared to a placebo device. About 53% of the patients in the study were satisfied that the device that was working to further reduce their migraine exposure. No serious adverse events were connected to the device. Well, there you go. That's kind of a plus. I wonder how much it is. It didn't really say. Moving along in the Quacker, what else? Measles outbreak in New York City grows. They say 3 more cases, total of 19. Of course, what Dr. Carly would say about this. They're giving measles vaccines, and they're creating the measles. And so this is an outbreak that's in Manhattan, Bronx, and Brooklyn. 3 more cases for total of 19 were confirmed. New cases are, they say, mostly the adults, 10 adults and 9 kids, according to the health department. Previous cases were also in Manhattan, Washington Heights, Highbridge, Central Bronx, and they did just recently confirm those cases in Brooklyn, but they have been stressing an outbreak that has been concentrated in northern Manhattan. So they're looking for the source of the outbreak. Well, you look no further than the hypodermic needle. Moving along in the Quack Report. Here's something that's interesting. They're discovering, they think, that the aroma of somebody's breath can indicate their health. They are saying that people that have liver failure, their breath could smell like raw fish. Well, I know for a fact that if you have acute liver failure, your breath will smell like flowery fish. Kind of it's a weird smell. It smells like fish sprayed with perfume, I guess. Bladder infection, they said, makes the urine smell like ammonia. We already knew that. Rubella, they say can make your sweat smell like freshly plucked feathers. Well, what the heck does that smell like? Anybody know? I've never sniffed a freshly plucked feather before, so I don't know what that means. Schizophrenia. People have schizophrenia. They say that their sweat will smell more like vinegar. And they actually are placing these scents into electrodes so that not only, you know, dogs that are trained to pick up scents like that and cancer and so forth, they can pick up this stuff too, especially if you have something like, you know, cervical cancer that really doesn't give you too much of an indication. So if you have diabetes, they say your breath smells more like nail polish remover. And let's see, what else do they have here? Let's see. Oh, if you have yellow fever, this is interesting. If you have yellow fever, it makes the skin smell like a butcher shop. Raw meat, huh? Really? Yellow fever? If you have a lymph node infection, it says the patient can smell like stale beer. Anybody you know smell like that? Well, anyway, some research is on this, and, you know, getting to get the sniff-out machines, apparently. Breast cancer, apparently people with cancer smell more like decay. Doesn't matter. Breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer, they just smell more like decay. So, anyway, that's interesting stuff. Get the sniff meter out. Next time you go to see your doctor, I guess. Last but not least, in the Quack Report tonight, let's see. This is interesting. Anybody out there, you know, kind of partake occasionally of some beer or wine? Well, this is interesting stuff on the manufacturing of those beverages. Few beers or wines are made using animal ingredients because the ingredients are often used during a filtration process. Which, you know, natural solids are removed, and they use these particular ingredients to give the product its translucent appearance. So you probably wonder, what kind of animal solids are we talking about here? Well, these solid ingredients could include, you know, grape skins. That's fine, right? They use that during the fermentation process, yeast cells. But very common filtering, or what they call fining additives, could include egg whites, milk proteins, seashells, gelatin made from animal hide, and isinglass, which is a substance they say is similar to gelatin, but it's made from the bladders of fish. So you know what, though, in the past they used to use cow blood as a refining agent to give the product clarity, but it's been banned by the European Union because of, you know, mad cow disease concerns. So wines from other regions may still use it, though. You got to check. Alcoholic beverages bearing the vegan label may be without any of those ingredients, but it's not marked on the label. But the best way to make certain about these fining agents is to contact the winery or the brewery directly to see, and there's a couple of websites that have active information on this stuff, on different alcoholic manufacturing and beverages. You can search on that online and see, and, you know, drink responsibly is what we're told. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Awesome. All right, we're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, this show is going to fly. Hour is going to roll really quick. We are going to be talking about some arthritis. A lot of people are, you know, really suffering with arthritis, and usually it's a lifestyle issue. But we're going to talk about this global epidemic of inflammatory conditions, usually called arthritis. Now, the American College of Rheumatology, along with the Arthritis Foundation, they say there's like 46 million people with arthritis, 27 million with osteoarthritis, 3 million with gout. Now, if we continue to go on like this, we're going to have more people with inflammatory disease than those without it. Now, medical science, they expect all inflammatory conditions to increase by 40% to about 60 million people by 2030. Well, why would any medical authority say that unless they knew what they were doing wasn't going to help? So, yeah, that does tell me that they aren't going to fix these types of medical conditions. That's what that says. So real preventable health care is really going to be up to you, the individual. And there are more, the more you learn how to take care of yourself with natural means, diet, you know, you're in control. You be in control of all that. The less disease you're going to have, and what you can avoid is a lot of things like inflammatory issues. Well, let's talk about arthritis, because the ancients knew how to deal with inflammation. They used to call it fire in the joints. I've talked about this before. We've dealt with these kind of conditions like gout, arthritis, osteoarthritis. But the ancients really didn't need fancy medical terms or any kind of fancy expensive treatments to tell them, hey, my joints hurt, right? So they took care of it with lifestyle changes, and they used a lot of medicinal tools that they had in their day, like foods and herbs and a lot of natural therapies. So they ate foods that had more omega-3 fat because that lifted inflammation and pain. They really didn't know that it was actually the omega-3 fat that helped their body hormonally balance, which helps to regulate inflammation. All they knew is they felt better when they ate it. So they knew that eating too much rich food would trigger joint pain and inflammation, and eating too much red meat or turkey or cheese and drinking too much alcohol or spirits were, you know, also one of the main food groups to avoid, along, you know, limit those amounts. They also limited their intake of corn and wheat and milk. So to avoid the inflammatory reaction, they would eat more vegetables and fish with the omega-3 fatty acids in it, like salmon and herring and sardines. Medicinal herbs also were used to lessen the severe pain and inflammation. They used ginger root and cayenne and willow bark and meadow sweet and ginseng, alfalfa, oregano, rosemary, just to name a few. So there have been like hundreds of therapies, though, and lots of diets out there to deal with inflammatory diseases like arthritis, gout, and osteoarthritis. Some work better than others. And one thing they all have in common is if the person sticks with the plan, it usually takes about 6 months or longer to become inflammation or pain-free. So one of my herbal professors had a wife, and he said that she was kind of the gouty type. And to combat her arthritic knees, she would take three whole limes. She would peel them, all of them, and throw them in a blender along with a little distilled water, and she would make her own lime drink. And he said this would take care of her problem. Now, I was curious how acidic citrus helped with the gout that was from too much uric acid usually in the joints. Well, he told me that the citrus is high in organic acids, which wash and clean the joints of inorganic uric acids. Now, for some people, this therapy can be, you know, too intense. However, I know of another such more intense therapy that gets rid of inflammation disease in just 3 weeks, but it's intense. It's intense, so you might want to stick with the old-fashioned homemade lime juice, right? Well, let's talk about the intense cleanse for a moment. The cleansing that's intense enough to turn arthritic cripples into marathon runners in about 3 weeks was designed by European Paavo Arola. And he got results, and he got people out of their wheelchairs with a juice fast, basically. So Paavo used a combination of bitter citrus, lemons and limes, and apple cider vinegar. And he would have these people take a couple of tablespoons of the citrus in about 8 to 16 ounces of water 3 to 5 times a day. So this is really concentrated citrus and vinegar. And they would take a couple of that, tablespoons of that, along with 8 to 16 ounces of water 3 times daily. So patients were able to drink other citrus juices and have doses of more apple cider vinegar, but but that was all that was in this flush fasting, liquid fast, for about 3 weeks. So there were no solid foods, just those juices for 3 weeks. Now, I'm not gonna lie about it. This cleanse would make the joints hurt for a while they're being cleansed. Okay, it's kind of like, you know, a thing that happens when you do cleansing. Sometimes old injuries flare up and they bother you more and things like that. But, you know, it's a cleansing crisis is what it's referred to, and it's natural and you can expect it. Now, in just 3 short weeks, Pablo said all the inflammation would go away. It'd be over with. And there is one herb that helps also with the inflammation. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But he says there's really nothing that will help clear the inflammation from the joints better than this flush. There are some herbs that help reduce the inflammation but not clear it like this will. So you need to just, I guess, get over the notions that there's some sort of magic pill out there that a doctor can prescribe to make all your knees stop hurting and your joints stop swelling. It's going to be something you're going to have to do, and it's going to be a lifestyle change you're going to have to implement and keep it. Let's talk about a less intense therapy, but one that still works. Now, Pablo's therapy, kind of challenging for most people. 3 weeks of just citrus and vinegar and water, that's kind of rough. But it works if you can tough it out. So that's the challenge, though, for most people. And if they're not up for the challenge, they may be able to do something else, a little step-down therapy for their arthritis, gout, and osteoarthritis. Once you get the inflammation out of the body, though, you do not want to recongest the body with more inflammation. We're going to get to that. So you don't want more uric acid foods going into the diet, in other words. So let's talk about this other therapy, less intense. It's called the mucus diet. It's no mucus. So you want to avoid foods that are mucusy or produce mucus when you eat them. This diet really consists of raw foods, a little bit of juice fasting, and you stay on it until your joints don't hurt anymore. So there's no animal products in this diet. There's no dairy. There's no fish. There's no meats. So none of these acids are going to have be able to build up while you're flushing them out. Now, you don't have to be too concerned about the pH while you do this. And the reason is the foods high in acidic pH, such as your lemons and limes, for instance, tend to be alkalizing to the body when you take them in. So apple juice or grape juice work very well during your juice flushing. It's important to make your own juices. If you have to buy them already juiced, you want to avoid the added sugars and artificial sweeteners that they put in them. So now, along with that mucilist diet of fresh fruits, vegetables, and juices, you could do some hydrotherapy, hot and cold hydrotherapy. Now, this stimulates the circulation. This helps push that flushing of the joints through the system faster so you can get over this quicker. So you're kind of, you know, cutting to the chase. So you don't want to baby yourself in a hydrotherapy. You want to push the limits as much as you can. So water as hot as you can stand it and as cold as you can stand it. And that's pretty much how you do it. They usually do that in our athletic facilities where they're rehab, you know, for sports injuries, where they'll put the injured person in a bath waist high if it's a knee, and it's cold water. They go through like a series of locks, almost like a ship, where it's hot water and then it's cold water, and that stimulates the healing process of the injury faster. So, but if let's say you can't get in and out of a tub or shower very quickly, well, then you can do hot and cold compresses. If it's your knee, ankle, or whatever, you can still do the hydrotherapy that way. Now, I've never seen blood vessels burst from hydrotherapy. No, I haven't. Now, orthopedic and sports medicine doctors sometimes use this therapy. Like I said, they call it the contrast bath. And It's also been referred to as the cold sheet treatment in a lot of situations, which help remove a lot of toxins out of the system. If you want to read more about that, the cold sheet treatment is a therapy I wrote about in the Power Herbs book, which you can look at thepowerherbs.com. And just look under books and newsletters and click on the Power Herbs book. And it's a 400-page book, but it's a PDF, and we send it to you through email, so you can check it out there. Now, with inflammatory disease, it's real important to remember you're going to need to go pretty much above and beyond a lot of your natural therapies. In other words, you're going to need to be aggressive, not shrink back and be, you know, Chicken Little when it comes to working with this. For example, when you apply, let's say, topical ointments to reduce stiffness and pain, you need to go beyond the typical capsaicin products sold in stores. These products are made with synthetic ingredients, more likely, and they won't be potent enough to stimulate long-term circulation to the joint. So you know that blood brings healing. You've heard me say that. So here again, the ancients knew what to do. However, the old-time healing ointments and rubs potent enough to work pretty much non-existent today. So what you want to do is you want to get a deep penetrating herb rub to stimulate circulation internally and externally, and they're going to be made from ginger root, cayenne, mustard seed, and wintergreen oil. Now, you're not going to find this commercially sold in your stores because wintergreen oil is hard to find anymore. You want to get a 95% pure menthol. And it's really hard. That's really what we need for the anti-inflammation response. The wintergreen oil is great for that. Commercial ointments and creams and rubs, they've replaced the wintergreen oil with a boiled coal or carbonic acid phenol. Now, peppermint oil is sometimes substituted by folks, but that's not going to help. That these days is also synthesized. It's not organic. So organic potent rubs that I'm talking about work really well to help you through the tough spots while you do your cleansing therapy, so you're not feeling so bad and you have more range of motion. Now, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have an organic rub. They make it themselves, and it takes a little process to make it, and they have even the menthol crystals are from distilled thyme leaves, and they do have the pure wintergreen oil that is also in that rub, so you can check it out at their website, thepowerherbs.com. Now, it's really important, too, when you have arthritic conditions, to get your mind in a right place. A lot of arthritic people, you know, tend to be uptight. So many natural healers feel that arthritis is a crystallized disease, which means that they see a correlation between a certain personality type and the disease. So arthritis will freeze up or stiffen the joint of the physical body, and people who are not very open emotionally will tend to develop arthritis, according to them. So if you're holding on to emotional issues and you're not moving forward, this can increase your risk of an inflammatory disease. Now, with any natural therapy, it is a, you know, mind and body work in process, so being more open and flexible both mentally and physically is going to go a long way in the healing process of your arthritis. Now, I mentioned that cold sheet treatment before. That helps remove a lot of emotional baggage when you go through that therapy as well. People, you know, just feel better, relieved, and lifted, and could be very beneficial for those suffering from arthritis. And you can check it out at thepowerherbs.com. Well, I see we're going to be coming up to a break here. I'm not done with this topic, though. I want to go over some herbs that are very helpful for arthritis that you can layer in as well as change your lifestyle and rinse those joints, rinse. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking about, you know, if you're going to be planting an herb garden, this is what I would plant if I were you. Be right back.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Down the cobblestones, looking for fun, looking, feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy. Hello, lamppost, what you knowing? I come to watch your flowers growing. Ain't you got no rhymes for me? Do it, do, do, feeling groovy.
And we're back. We're back here on Herb Talk. Yeah, we're going to be planting some flowers here. We're going to talk about herb garden in a minute. But we're going to finish up our arthritis segment here. I got some little tips here on some things you can add to your therapies there we mentioned in the first part of the show. Actually, I like to strengthen the body as I'm working on removing a lot of those acids. And so I'll use a combination of herbs that have silicon and phosphorus, which are really essential for strong bones and connective tissue in the joints. So you're going to find that in horsetail and oat straw and lobelia. And we have that in a liquid formula at the powerherbs.com website. The Apothecary Herbs folks, they make a calcium formula. Very powerful stuff. You only have to take it 3 times a week as you build that bone and connective tissue up. So you can check that out. It's called calcium formula. Also for natural iodine, which helps prevent osteoarthritis, I find you could get that in seaweed and Celtic sea salt, or the highest concentration you're going to find is in black walnut. Of course, you will find a tincture of black walnut also at thepowerherbs.com. They do have the Celtic sea salt, which has your natural iodine in it, and your Body Foundation food mix, which has the seaweed, so you have some options there. Also, organic vitamin C is very beneficial for helping prevent joint damage. You'll find natural vitamin C, again, in that body food mix. And also, lots of chlorophyll is in there as well, which will help clear the body and of any pathogens, and it's kind of a mini cleanse when you use chlorophyll. Willow bark and meadowsweet, again, is another herb that I like to use for pain and inflammation. It's a natural product. If you have a sensitivity to aspirin, you may have a sensitivity to these herbs as well. But you can use a liquid of willow bark and meadowsweet and adjust the dose to suit yourself. And it's really great for a natural way without the toxicity of over-the-counter drugs or prescription drugs. So you can seek a pain relief and anti-inflammatory action through some herbs. And again, use those rubs I was talking about with the natural wintergreen and mustard and ginger. You're going to find arthritis rub at thepowerherbs.com website as well. Little goes a long way on that stuff. It is awesome. So the ancients, you know, may not have had, you know, the reasons why their joints were inflamed or hurting, but they did have herbs. They would tap into the ginsengs, either American or Siberian, to give them energy and stamina. For the emotional side of things, you know, if they're a little bit, you know, uptight, they would use valerian root and some other things to help, you know, calm down the central nervous system so that they could relax, because a body that's uptight has a hard time regenerating and healing. So you have endless possibilities there. You can call the folks at the powerherbs.com website. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663. That is Apothecary Herbs. And or you can visit their website, thepowerherbs.com. Toll-free, once again, is 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Alrighty, put the power back in your hands. That's what I like about it. So let's talk about herb gardens. Now, a lot of you out there are in your survival modes. You are out there being more self-sufficient, which I applaud you all. And so we're going to talk about herb gardens. Now, herb gardens are ancient. You know, they used to grow herb gardens. Monks, they would grow herb gardens. Actually, they were in charge of a lot of the medicinals in the ancient world. So we're going to talk about the power of your herb garden here. And, of course, if you're interested in learning more about how herbs work and what herbs you might want to plant, you can check out the Power Herbs book at thepowerherbs.com website. That gives you an herb symptom reference guide and what herbs you can use for certain things. And so that can kind of guide you as to what you want to put in your herb garden. Okay, so let's talk about what's going to be in your herb garden. Herb gardens, you know, way back in the 1600s, a lot of monasteries grew them or had them, and they were actually called Infirmarian gardens because the nunnery or the monastery were in charge of the Infirmarian's job was to, you know, take care of the herb gardens, and they would dispense a lot of the herbs to the locals for infirmary issues. And they called it the Infirmarian garden. So what would be in the garden? Well, if I had to just pick a few herbs to plant, if you just had a small space for a small garden, you want to select herbs that are really going to do more than just one job. They are, you know, multi-purpose types of herbs. Now, of course, you can have your culinary herbs, but we're going to be talking about more medicinal type of herbs. So it's sort of like having, you know, a closet of clothes, and you have your separates, which you can mix and match for different purposes, different looks. And so that's what you want to be able to do with a lot of your herbs. They're very versatile. So we're going to extend the power of your medicinal herb garden when we do that. So in the 1600s, let's say, an infirmarian's herb garden, let's say in England, they typically would have things like coriander, and they use that for dysentery and digestive problems. They would have an herb called chervil, which they use for female problems of menstrual nature and even for edema, fluid retention. They would have cumin, again for digestion and also as an immune stimulant. They would use feverfew. Feverfew was for, you know, fever, pain, wounds, that kind of thing. And it was also an antidote for those addicted to opium. They have fennel. Fennel is awesome, which is good for people who tend to overeat. They have gas and bloating. And it was also good for colicky babies. And they had another herb called lovage, which was a diuretic type of herb, and it was great for sore throats. And it got its common name because it was typically used as a love potion. So it got the common name lovage. Mallow was in there as an anti-inflammatory to soothe and soften skin. It's also an herb that you'll see typically in a lot of pharmaceutical products. Now, the word mallow is derived from the Greek word malouk, meaning to soften, especially mucous membranes. And they'd have mint and parsley and rue, which was an anti-parasite herb, and, of course, mustard that they would use for poultices. Again, that ginger and mustard, those hot herbs, for improving circulation. Okay, so why would they typically have all these herbs? Well, it was kind of like English's first aid kit. And they got a lot of these herbs from the Roman army who came through and planted a lot of these herbs as their medical facility. When they were on a siege taking over parts of the world, they would bring along their herbalists, and they would have a camp, and they would plant herbs. And, I mean, they'd be there a while if they had to grow them. And that would be their medical facility. So when they withdrew, when the Roman armies left, the herb gardens remain. Now, some infirmarians would cultivate what the Roman army planted, and and some would add in some others. Now, for instance, you'd have some sunflowers a lot of times in the herb gardens. The herb garden once was part of basically a female education of the house in England. Women were typically expected to plant herb gardens to be the doctor moms of their households, and they were expected to know everything there was to know about these medicinal plants. So, actually, the term Dr. Mom didn't originate with the commercials you saw on Robitussin for the cough syrup. The mistress of the house in the 17th century had to lay out her herb garden in a simple geometric pattern, and it would be between the flower and the vegetable garden. And then she'd have a separate spot for culinary herbs like basil, rosemary, thyme. And England's most wealthy families included confectionery type of herbs like anise and things like that for, you know, to sweeten baked goods and stuff. All right, so here's my picks. If I was going to lay out an herb garden, I would definitely use some of the herbs that they had in the 1600s in their gardens. I definitely would have fennel because it is great for gas and bloating. It's a great digestive aid. It also helps to cut down on hunger pains if you're trying to eat lighter or you're fasting. I would have ginger in my garden. Of course, we already know why. And peppermint, again, another digestive aid. And it's an analgesic as well. Slippery elm is a tree, actually. It's the inner bark of a shrub tree. Make sure you have that nearby. Slippery elm is really good when you want to use it for something that you want to stick together, like a topical poultice or something like that. It's very also soothing to the intestine area. So it's really good for dysentery and calming down diarrhea. I would also have, of course, my echinacea. You can plant Echinacea purpurea or angustifolia, depending on your zone you're in. Typically, one likes colder weather than the other. Garlic, I'd have garlic in my herb garden and astragalus root, and, of course, onion and marshmallow root and milk thistle and barberry and juniper berry and hawthorn berry. Lobelia, of course, I'd have to have that because that's great for decongestant. As a decongestant, and of course plantain, which is good for pulling out toxins out of tissue, like your skin. So you've got a lot to pick from. You can mix and match some herbs there. And a lot of times I'll use what I call a Superman trio or of herbs for digestive problems. Like if you got a lot of vomiting and diarrhea, I'll mix my fennel, ginger, peppermint, and my slippery elm to deal with that. So separately they have different uses, and together they have a totally different outcome. So you can mix and match your herb garden like so. So check that out. If you're interested in the Power Herbs book to help you along, then you'll definitely want to get a copy. It's just $14.99. And you can go to the powerherbs.com website and click on Books and Newsletters, click on the Power Herbs book. It's an ebook which will be emailed to you, 400 pages, and an herb symptom reference guide, so you can get kind of a clue as to what you might want to plant in your herb garden. And good luck out there, all of you with green thumbs, even those that don't have green thumbs, okay? All right, we're going to move along. We got some extra time. We're going to talk about our acne, adult acne topic. I get quite a few calls throughout the year on this. More and more adults seem to have acne problems past their 30s and 40s, and they're really concerned about that, and they don't want to take a bunch of drugs for it. Acne really isn't just for children or teenagers. There's a lot of people, a lot of adults that are suffering with it, and if they go to their doctor, the doctor wants to give them a drug called tetracycline, which is not real healthy for the liver, and also you run the risk of turning your teeth irreversibly gray in color. So there's about 10 different forms of acne, and acne that affects teenagers and young adults is really called acne vulgaris. And acne rosacea is the adult acne that tends to pop up in adults later on in life. So if you've been told that you have adult acne, there's about 13 million Americans who do. So your body basically is out of balance. You've got some toxins in there, and that's a safety valve that the body has when toxins aren't leaving the body fast enough through your normal elimination methods. Then the body's going to push those toxins out through the skin, and this is where we get acne. And it's not always on the face, too. Some people get them on their chest and on their back. So let's talk about this balance, that we're out of balance and creating this acne to appear. Now, if you are an adult acne sufferer, sometimes now you'll hear this term rosacea, which is pretty much the same thing as adult acne. Rosacea is a little bit more severe form of the adult acne, and it is very much connected to stress. So the more stress you're under, the more that's going to pop up. It produces more oil in the skin, and it affects also your hormonal system. So you can clean your face all you want. Being super hygienic there alone is not going to solve the problem, because the problem is inside the body and it's related to a lifestyle. So now, I used to have adult acne, also known as rosacea, when I was in my 30s. And a lot of people call it the Celt disease because it seems to follow people of the Irish-English ancestry line. But basically, anybody can get adult acne. So if you happen to notice that you're getting a blemish or two that appears when you're super stressed, or for women, if it's around your menstruational cycle, if you're tired, you haven't gotten enough sleep, and if you're eating all the wrong foods, well, then welcome to 13 million Americans who are in the same boat. Now, I personally, when I had it, I wanted to find out, how I could correct this, reverse this problem without a bunch of harsh chemicals, without a bunch of drugs. So by taking modern medicine's approach, the tetracycline or the microcycline products, sometimes it's erythromycin they put you on. It's, you know, it's an antibiotic. Accutane or isotretinoin. Well, you'll discover if you're on these drugs that they'll temporarily fix the acne problem, but it does cost you more later in side effects. So modern medicine believes that, you know, the acne can't be cured, but that's hogwash. Hogwash, I tell you. Of course, you know, treating the symptoms is always going to not treat the cause of your disease, and that's why they say it can't be cured. Well, let me tell you just a little bit about rosacea, if you're new to that term. It resembles acne, except that the skin also may become thick around the nose area, and the nose can have eventually a bulbous appearance. Okay, this is technically called rhinomyopia, and W.C. Fields had it. Okay, a rhinomyopia would be just, you know, the nose kind of getting that roundy-looking appearance to it, bulby, almost like, you know, a Rudolph in a red-nosed reindeer. Okay, also under rosacea, typically you may see spidery red blood vessels around the nose, the nostril area. It can also appear around the central area of the face, and some believe that it may be an inherited trait, as we mentioned. You know, if you have some ancestry, they think it's linked to that. I think it's linked to lifestyle. So we're going to talk about that. Let's push all those Celtic curses aside for a minute and look at what could be the cause of adult acne, or also known as rosacea. I'm going to give you a list of foods and even drugs and activities that you may want to avoid for a period of time, and within just a few months, you can tell if your skin is looking better. Now, you can keep a food journal also to help you identify some of the culprit foods that your body seems to not particularly like and gets you out of balance and causes this chemical reaction in your system. Okay, so here's the list I want to give to you. It's chocolate, I know. Chocolate. Really? It has to be on the list. I like chocolate. Everybody likes chocolate, but chocolate is on the list. It's a big no-no if you have acne problems. No chocolate. Also, spicy foods, hot Mexican food, chili, tacos, anything hot, you know, quesadillas, what else? You know, taco chips and salsa, that's off the list. Alcohol is also on the list. Beer, wine, mixed drinks, whatever, no-no. Pickled foods is also a culprit, as well as caffeine. And get this, hot beverages. So even if it's hot cocoa or hot, you know, apple cider, anything hot seems to trigger it. Smoked foods, and, you know, smoked fish, smoked meats, try to avoid those. Marinated foods as well. Sometimes it's the marinated foods that are causing this acne to ping. Fried foods is also on the list. And also antibiotics. And here's the thing, they give you antibiotics for acne, and it's one of the culprits for it. Also, excessive sun, being out in the sun too much, and hot, long showers. Now, I knew a guy that I met casually at a dinner out with friends, I sat next to his wife, and she would tell me about her husband's acne problem. And he always looked like his face was flushed. You know how, you know, kids, you know, when they get embarrassed, their face gets all red. Well, he had that all the time. And I said, well, it sounds like he's got rosacea. And I gave her this list to stay off of. And she says, oh, my God, he's from California. And he loves everything on this list, especially the spicy foods. And he does like long, hot showers. I said, well, you know, if he was just to do two things, I would say get rid of those two and see how he does, and then get rid of the other stuff as well. And next time I saw them was at a holiday dinner, and his skin was gorgeous. I mean, none of that red flushed look, none of those spidery lines, none of that bulby-looking nose. It was just amazing. And he just came up and shook my hand, and he actually gave me a hug and thanked me. And I'm like, and he says, I couldn't believe that I was my biggest enemy with this skin problem. Thank you so much. Well, yeah, the power's in your hands. You just got to change something. And that's what you should do, is avoid those, the list of foods I gave you. So there's women out there, there's men out there that don't have to suffer with rosacea adult acne. And here's the other thing, is if you're stripping a lot of the oils, natural oils off the skin, making it really dry, that makes the skin want to manufacture more oils on the skin, creating an environment where you may encourage more acne. So you may want to switch to a honey oatmeal soap. And that will clear away the bacterial pathogens but leave the good flora on the skin. It won't strip it of all the oils, and the oatmeal locks in moisture so the skin stays soft and supple, and you don't have all those lines and things, wrinkles. So check out the honey oatmeal soap. It's a really good hard soap. It'll last a long time as long as you keep it dry in between uses, and you can pick up a bar of that at the powerherbs.com website. It is pretty awesome. So you have some options there. Now, also, toxins. Remember I said toxins is the issue, too. Too many toxins in the system, can't get out fast enough. They're coming out through the skin. So you may want to look, investigate the opportunity to do some bowel cleansing, especially bowel cleansing. A lot of people do that and their skin clears up. So it could be a matter of cleansing the bowel where most of the toxins wind up to leave the body. But if they're not leaving fast enough, well, this is why the bowel's congested and they're backing up into the system and it's coming out through the skin. So check out the bowel cleanse kit. And you can pick one up at thepowerherbs.com. You can share it with someone. It's enough for two people, or do a second cleanse 6 months later so you have a maintenance cleanse built in if it's just you. And money-back guarantee at thepowerherbs.com. Or you can give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. All righty. Well, we're almost out of time. And if you're on the website, thepowerherbs.com, don't forget to sign up for their free online newsletters. They have two of them. The American Survival is got several people writing for it, so you'll get health information, financial information, political information. You got Dr. Carly in there writing, Al Adask and Melanie Cedarstrom at Discount Gold and Silver. And by the way, if you need some backup currency, do give them a call. They'll set you up and they'll tell you exactly what they would do if they were you. So I love little businesses like that that, you know, kind of look out for each other and their customers. So give them a call at Discount. Their number's toll free at 800-375-4188. That's who I call when I want some gold and silver coins, 800-375-4188. Melanie Cedarstrom, tell her I sent you. Hey, I'm out of time, but the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician there before using any product or therapy. I'm your host, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.